Blog Talk Radio.
Here it is. About that time. Lexi. Let's go.
Tune in to the It's a Way Out radio show, hosted by author and motivational speaker Marlon Reed, author of the book The Diary of a Changed Man and lead servant of the ministry Men Do Help Men. Marlon is here to help you breathe again. Tune in every other Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. That's 657-383-0309 on blogtalkradio.com/NHISG Sports Media Network. Remember, no matter how deep you think you're in, it's a way out.
Hey, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to another edition of It's a Way Out. But most of all, it's a way to stay out with your host, me, Marlon Reed, on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Radio with CEO Mrs. Princess Cooper. Man, it's been a long 3 weeks, and I hope everyone had, you know, a great holiday. You know, in the 3 weeks that I wasn't on, we had Memorial Day holiday last weekend. That was one of the reasons why I wasn't on last Wednesday, because I was off last Monday. As y'all know, I do residential street trash for waste management. And, you know, just missing that one day is a lot, you know, and I had to work on a Saturday, and I don't work on Saturday, but, you know, just, you know, it was a lot. And that Wednesday, I was so tired because, you know, I get up like 1:30 in the morning to be by work. By 3 o'clock, start at 3:30. You know, I live in Pennsylvania, but I work in New Jersey, Camden. So it was just a lot going on, plus family life at the same time. So y'all got to forgive me, but thanks for tuning in today and tuning in tonight, as I meant to say. Got a great show lined up. You know, it's Father's Day month, and, you know, we celebrating, you know, Father's Day, and, you know, we want to do something big on all the radio shows and everyone on the network. But for myself, I think I wanted to just do something about me for Father's Day, being so I'm a father myself. So I really didn't have too much, you know, plan for this month to do something big, other than, you know, talk about my life, and we're going to talk about the book, The Diary of a Changed Man. I know I give y'all a little information each week, each other week since I've been coming on. But we the book is done. It's just waiting on the final editing cut. I got the as you say, as the uncut version of the book. So it's definitely done. Planning a release date. Within the next, hopefully the next 30 to 40 days, I'd say 60 days. But I'm really ain't having no book signing. And I'm really not that type of person. I know that's things you gotta have, but, you know, you can go to my website, which is MrElmReed.com, and request for a book, and I mail it to you, or go on Facebook and inbox me, or, you know, go on my page. And or if you're in a tri-state area, I'm always got books on deck. I'll bring it to you. But we definitely going to get into talking about the book and everything. But first off, we want to congratulate Ms. Clinton for winning the Democratic. Now she made history and broke bridges, and she, you know, made way for, you know, first woman to really be run to have a chance to be elected for president. So that's a big thing, man. And on the other side of Republicans, you got Donald Trump, and it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a race. So we got to get out there, and we got to choose, because, you know, the next 4 years is critical. Whoever you choose, it's going to be critical. So whoever best fit your plan and your lifestyle and what you're trying to do and where you're trying to go, of course, God is always going to lead us. Of course, Christ is always going to protect us. You know, of course, the Holy Spirit always going to direct us. So, you know, but at the same time, in the flesh, while we're here, you know, if one of them is leading in your way, then, you know, you got to vote for one. So that's a big thing, and that's a big step. And, you know, it's just been, you know, a blessed 3 weeks for me. And we're going to talk about everything that we need to talk about, the ministry, you know, at the same time, because that all ties in with the book and what I'm doing. So we're just going to talk about me. We're going to talk about my life. I'm not going to give y'all testimony. I'm just going to talk about my life that let like pieces in the book. I'm going to try to read a chapter or two to give y'all a preview of what's going on with the book, because I'm very excited about this, because it's been a long 2 years journey with this, you know, writing and editing and constantly promoting. And here it is now. We at the last final stage of really the hard editing and getting it published and printed. So, you know, I'm very excited about how God is moving in my life and how he allowed me to use my life. And as I look back over it, I got to thank God for just how many times he showed up and showed out, man, from the time I was conceived and all the way up until now, man. And I really see that when I read over my own life. You know, I really see how many times God showed up every time. Even when I was out there working for Satan, he still was showing up in my life and protecting me and keeping me here in the flesh for a reason. And there's got to be the reason to do what he allowed me to do, to give the kids some, the younger generation some direction and vision, and giving the older generation, helping them to make correction and discipline and show that a change can be done if you're willing to do it, you know, if you're willing to surrender. And it talks about how, you know, a young child had to go through situations, you know, with family and that led him into the streets. So with that being said, man, I'm going to come back on the other side and I'm going to jump right into it. You know, I hope everyone had a blessed day. Hope you had the chance to have the presence of the Lord in your day. If not, just wake up and pray to God. As I say, God, dear God, can you please be in my presence today? Can I be in your presence more likely? Can I be in your presence today? Can you give me some direction and guide me? And hopefully that be, I know for me, it uplifts me every time if I wake up on the bed, on the wrong side of the bed, you know. But the blessing is that I woke up. So, and when I say that, it just uplifts my spirit. So here's a song to uplift your spirit, man. I love this song by Lexi, Miss Lexi. And I just always try to play it every show just to get someone some uplifting before we truly get into the show. So we're going to jump to commercial, play this song, and we're going to come back on the other side and talk about the book, talk about my life, and talk about the ministry, and talk about a release date for the book where y'all can read it, because I know you're tired of hearing me talk about it and tired of me promoting it, and it's not here, but now it's here. It's a way out, but most of all, it's a way to stay out with your host, Marlon Reed, who never had a so good sports media radio.
Here it is. About that time. Let's see. Let's go.
Never said I got it all right. Situations got the best of me.
Hey, we back on It's a Way Out, but most of all, it's a way to stay out with your host, me, Marlon Reed, on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Radio with CEO, Ms. Princess Cooper. And like I said, we're going to talk about, you know, the book, The Diary of a Changed Man. Also talk about my life, because like I say, the book is, you know, really finally here. We just got to, you know, now get the printing and put the release date out there and do the last final editing, which, you know, only going to take a few days. Over the past 2 years, man, it's been a lot of work, a lot of research, and just a lot of putting together. And I got a team of people, a book coach and an editor and promoter and, you know, people that helped me with this project, you know, that definitely put a lot of hard work in the last 2 years, just as well as myself. You know, it ain't all me. You know, I just had the vision and did the writing and they took it and brought it to life. So, you know, now it's here, man. But the reason behind The Diary of a Changed Man is because let's talk about my life just a little bit, not a testimony. Just want to tell y'all some things about me that made me decide to write the book. Just looking the way the generation is going, the younger generation is going, even with the older generation and what we doing to help the young generation. So, you know, I just got to thinking and sitting back and, you know, going to church and going to service. And then it hit me, you know, to try to get back to the generation, to the people, to show them, you know, the works of God, the mighty works of God. Because, you know, to turn me around, it got to be mighty works, and nothing ain't too hard for God. So I wanted to show the people, you know, his works and, you know, what he did in my life and how he gave me another chance to get out here to live a second life without being into crime and being a criminal and being on drugs. And the best way about it was, you know, to put it in the book. But, you know, one of my church members, she wrote a book, Miss Michelle Govan. If y'all may know her on the network, Pay Your Way to Success. And she wrote a book, and, you know, she was a book coach too. And, you know, when I seen her do it, that definitely motivated me to do it. So I started asking her questions and how she went about it and, you know, how to, you know, format and how to write. And, you know, she gave me some tips and it just went from there. You know, I got to start writing, man. And as I got to start writing, I started being more encouraged and start getting involved at the same time of doing a lot of things. You know, God, you know, gave me the chance to go to Bible school through my church and go to evangelism school and, you know, get married and have another child and be able to just grow in his ministry, be able to become a deacon and be able to do so many things around the church and go out on the streets and, you know, help the people. So as I was writing, all this stuff was coming about, and I wanted to show the people, man, the mighty works of God. I wanted to show the young children at the same time, you know, what led me to be right here today was, you know, choosing the streets for a bigger brother, you know, choosing the streets to be an ear to listen to, choosing the streets for love, choosing the streets for my own desires, choosing the streets because, you know, I thought it was cool. And that's what I did. And at an early age, man, you know, wound up getting arrested. You know, the first time I sold drugs, I got arrested. The first day, you know what I'm saying? Maybe after the third customer. And, you know, that should have been my ending, but it turned out to be my beginning, you know, from the age of 13 to the age of 29. And within them years, man, it led me to start doing destructive things, becoming a criminal, being a cool guy on the block, dibbing and dabbing into different ventures and growing in the game and getting addicted to the fast life and the street life and, working for Satan and he's showing me my wants and, showing me everything that I can have, if I abide by him and that's what I did. And it led to him, disgrading me, putting me in destruction, put me through some hard times for 9.5 years off and on, because all that led from a cigarette led all the way up to smoking a straight, because of the way I liked it to party. And, I always liked it to elevate it in my parties and that's what I did. And I was making a little bit of money at the time to party. So it elevated each level, to weed, to smoking dust, to smoking dippers, to drinking, to snorting coke, to lacing coke with weed and cigarettes and powder, to lacing it with crack, and to the ultimate, to smoking crack, within, I think, my last year or two of getting high, in and out of jail. Did fed time, did state time, did county time, did juvenile time, all this occurred and from the age of 13 to 28. So, my life was just, out of control, man. And that's how Satan do. He show you. That's why we live by faith and not by sight, because he show you what you think you want. He show you what you think that people accept you in the world if you have these materialistic things. And me, I always was a plain person, even in that lifestyle. I really never was a materialistic kind of person. So if they had the polo shirts on, I had the plain white shirts on. But it was just a clean, plain white shirt with money in my pocket. So, I got caught up just to be around the guys that was bigger than me. Because I didn't want to be that big in the drug game. I really didn't. I let that be that dumb people. I just wanted to be around them and get a little bit of money and go to places they go, because I always thought the bigger you get, the more weight come over your head, or the more price be on your head for you to get robbed. So I really never wanted that big startism, but I loved the party. And the party, turned my life into something destructive. So that was the reason for the book, man, to show the younger generation, man, you got to make some choices, man, because the choices that you make right now can affect you now and later, or for the rest of your life, man. So, by you reading this book and you seeing the choices I made at the age of 13, you may want to make different choices, because everybody don't make it out. I seen many people die, not even die, because you die in your sleep. I seen many people get murdered. When I say get murdered, not physically, I was standing there. I'm talking about people getting murdered around me, doing the same things that I was doing. And here it is, God allowed me to stay here. Even though I don't know where, they went at. I don't know where they was at in their religion. And their faith. So I don't know where, they went at, but God had to keep me here for a reason, because people was getting murdered left and right that was around me in my circle. So I seen that. Like I say, as time went on, it made me start thinking and want to get back to this generation just by the direction that they're going, because it's really a demonic spirit that's out here on the world, and people don't look at it that way. They don't look at it as a demonic spirit. They look at it as this a way of life, you know. This what it is, you know. The thicker the girl, the better opportunity she has, you know. The more brain she has is the less opportunity. You know, that's the way of the world now. Like, you don't need brains to get anywhere. You just need a body, and you can get somewhere. So, you know, that's the way that the life. We got to change that. We got to get back to showing that brains is everything. You know what I'm saying? Not saying you don't supposed to have the body because you God's creation. So, you know, you one of God's greatest creation as a woman is one of God's greatest creation on this earth. So you're supposed to have body, but the way that the world have it now, that you don't need a brain. So, you know, that's what this book is all about, man. It's all about showing the youth some direction and giving them some vision. Start giving them some vision of their future. Hopefully, a 13-year-old can read this. 14, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17, 18-year-old can read this and get something out of it. Like, man, you know, this brother, as a young man, as a teenager, went through some things. Only had he went a different direction, maybe life could have been different. And hopefully, I can make, if I'm going in the same direction, I can make a different decision, you know. So, and that's what it's all about with the youth, because us as older, we allow it to get that way, because this basically, plain and simple, it's selfishness. Everybody is for self. It's about my household. If it ain't about my children, I don't care what's going on outside my doors. And that's how the generation got so far gone. So with this book, The Diary of a Changed Man, I feel as though it can hit standards on all levels, men and women and children. You know what I'm saying? And for the older cats, it show you that a guy that went through so much in life, but first of all, it's going to show you, too, how he worked for Satan and how he lived for God. It's going to show you, you know, the better life of the two, you know, and it show you that you have another chance, you know, no matter what you've done. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, scripture 17 tell us that any man or woman get himself to Christ, or a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And the book going to show that the older generation, they think that they so stuck that they can't get out their lifestyle, or, you know, they done did something so bad that Christ won't forgive them, or Christ won't accept them, or God won't forgive them, or even if that's not your religion, or you don't have no religion at all, you just, you know, want to change, and you just think you can't change because you've been stuck in this lifestyle, maybe hustling, maybe crime, maybe getting high, and you think you stuck into this lifestyle because you've been doing it for so long. But I'm telling you, man, the book want to show you how I took each step of the way to get to where I'm at from 2005, from when I changed and surrendered, all the way up until now, 2016, is going to show you how I took the steps to come into this world. Well, let me change that. To come into the legal world and start living a legal life. All I did was took my bad habits, my the way that I learned how to hustle illegal, I just took them skills and put it to legal use and start doing it legal and start XYZ, because it shows you how, you know, we got to come to the legal world with something. You're not going to just come and make $22 an hour, $23 an hour, you know, with nothing. You know, it shows you steps how I went and got the GED. I went and got the driver's license. I went and got this trade, the CDL. It show you how I worked at $8 an hour jobs. And it show you how that disciplined me when I was making $8 an hour. It show you how you know, I had an apartment, and I show you how it disciplined me how to save money and spend money. That's the purpose. It shows you how you can come out of that lifestyle and grow into this lifestyle or this legal world. The Diary of a Changed Man, I think it's really powerful if you look at it that way. It's not a book like you know, New Jack City or Paid in Full. You know, I didn't glorify the drug life at all. I didn't show you what the drug selling and money and then what it can do. No, I just showed you the downsides of what it did, period, as far as the destruction. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to glorify nothing and people can say, well, I'm going to do it better than him, and then they on top of the world. I didn't glorify it. I showed you the destruction of what it did. So when you read the book, is going to read you and show you the destruction and the downfall of the lifestyle. And then it's going to show you how God lift them up, and spiritually and mentally, he got able to push away from that and went ahead and start doing some better things in life. You know, so that was the reason for the book, man. Just to impact the people. You know, it wasn't because I was trying to make some money. It ain't because, you know, I want to be famous. It ain't because I want to be seen or known. None of that. This book is strictly for people that's going the wrong direction and people who are already in the wrong direction who want to get into the right direction. And that's what I think. That my life can show you how to broad and change, because with change come opportunity, with opportunity comes success, and it's just a powerful. I think it's a powerful testimony, you know, that you're gonna get something out of when you read it. It's not a real long book. It's not a thick book. It's only 165 pages. So you read that maybe in one day, because it's a short. My life ain't over yet. I got another. In the next 30 years, I'll write part two. You know, when I'm 70, something like that. Next 20 years, when I'm 60. But you know, right now it's only 165 pages, man. And that's with the book, and that's how the ministry became Men Do Help Men. That all ties in with the book, because I wanted to show the men that, you know, we can get back to being leaders in our own household. We become leaders in ourselves. We become believers of who we can be. You know, nothing, don't let no criminal record or anything hold you back, because I have, as you see, 4 different criminal records. I have a juvenile jail record, a county jail record, a state jail record, and a federal jail record. Here it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm working for Waste Management and making some money a year. So, you know, you can do the same thing, but it took time. It took steps for me to work my way up to get to where I'm at now. And that's what this book is all about. It's going to show you how you can come out of that life and rejoice, man. But the main thing for me was God did it. I surrendered to God in 2005, and God knew my heart, and he knew I was ready to surrender, and he knew it was real. So he removed that sickness that was holding me down. And he put me in a situation where I can utilize the tools. You know, I can get some understanding. You know, I can take in some information. I can make some discipline. And also, I can make the corrections. And I can get the clarity. You know what I mean? He put me in a situation where I can get them things. And that's the ministry right there. Them words right there is based off my ministry, man. Men Do Help Men. you know. So I'm just excited. I'm honored that God put me in a position to do the things that I'm doing, man. And you know, Father's Day is around Father's Day time. I'm a blessed father, and so you know, it's just truly something tremendous that, you know, I got a chance to do in my life, man, to be able to put out a book to about an autobiography about me, and it can help people, you know, if they have an open heart, take it and receive it. Like I say, it's truly going to be powerful, man. So that's the whole thing behind the book, man. It's about a young child go through some things with his family, losing his mother at an early age, finding out who his father on the day he was mother, when his mother funeral, and that's really a surprising, and turning into the streets and letting the streets mold him into something else, and then turn into a party animal and took the party in too far and got turned out for 9.5 years, criminal in and out of jail, different women. And then being able to come out of that lifestyle, coming to God, God giving him the greatest gift, introducing to his son, Jesus Christ, to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So, and show you the steps of how he went about living in this legal world and what he's doing today to help promote the gospel, you know, and through his life as well. So I think it's going to be a powerful book, man. I think y'all going to be real interesting, and I think you're going to enjoy it. But we're going to shoot to a quick commercial, which is another song real fast, and I'm going to come back and read some of the book on It's a Way Out, but most of all, it's a way to stay out with your host, me, Marlon Reed, on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Radio with CEO Ms. Frances Cooper.
The company is using our great-grandmother's pickle recipe. Cucumbers, dill, peppers, and garlic. That's it. Pairing that with a Triscuit. It's been around for over 100 years. Triscuit starts with 3 ingredients. It's really simple. We want to keep doing that.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me. to someone. I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank him. Just thank him.
Hey, we back on It's a Way Out. Multiple Balls, a Way to Stay Out. With your host, Marla Reed, on another head of some good sports media radio. With CEO, Miss Princess Cooper. And like I said, man, I wanted to get into the book. Man, I wanted to read like a little bit out the book, give y'all a little previews of what can you expect, you know, from the book. This chapter is called Lifestyle Full of Pain. And I think it's like I was 13, maybe around like 89. I think I had just got arrested for the first time. And, you know, it's going into, you know, after me being arrested. So here we go. A lifestyle full of pain. Now, and y'all got to forgive me, like my reading is like talking. So, you know, you understand what I'm saying, but my reading is like I'm talking. Lifestyle full of pain. Now, with all the mishaps going on in my life, you would have thought that I have learned a lesson from being locked up. But the streets was tempting. They offered me a place of solution. I appreciated there. So when the judge handed down a sentence of 1 year probation, it felt like a slap on the wrist. Yes, I had made it through that storm. But I was sent to juvenile detention center and was added to the criminal system database. I was worried because I thought my grandparents would be on the other side of the door to pick me up after the judge sentenced me. But they weren't. I had to spend a few days in because my grandfather thought that I needed to be taught a lesson, possibly learn from my mistakes. In the blink of an eye, I went from being one of the good kids on the block to getting 1 year probation and being labeled as one of the young criminals in the neighborhood. So many things was running through my mind, and I had some choices to make. Either I could make this my beginning or my ending. But from the way I saw it, the streets had chose to make it my beginning. With all of the drama going on in my life, there was no wonder that I failed my first year of junior high school. I had to repeat the seventh grade, but it didn't matter to me. My role model was always there for me. It was filled with fun, laughter, and adventure every day. The streets taught me lessons on a day-to-day basis, and there was not one book in the schoolhouse that could teach me what I was learning. I was learning and school people all the time. I was learning and schooling people all the time. But I was only 13 didn't matter. I had gained plenty of respect, especially since I had kept my mouth closed and didn't snitch. That proved it to everyone that I was loyal. All of a sudden, lifestyle change came with choices and consequences. I would still be walking in shoes that were filled with pain, and there would be no one to stop me but me. I had a few adults and a few of my uncles on my father's side who tried to reach out and help me turn my life around, but it was too late. Where were they when everyone was lying to me? Why didn't any of them tell me the real truth and not the truth that they all wished it and believed it? If they really wanted to help me, they would have stopped it, any of this from happening to me. Just because I am a child, I have feelings, and at that point, each of them played a part in this, and I wasn't willing to listen or believe anything they were saying. Listening to them was only going to add to the hatred that I had in my heart. They could never understand why I chose the streets over them. The streets were important. They didn't judge me. They loved me. They appreciate me for being there, and they help to heal and take away some of this pain. That was what no one else could do for me. There was no amount of love or hugs that could be poured into me to make me feel any different. Now I will give them all a E for effort, but their attempts were only pushing me farther away. See, and just like that, I chose the streets. I read y'all a little bit of it, and I chose the streets just because of the situation prior to me being 13 and getting locked up, and you know the situations that was going on in my life. I saved that part for y'all to read in a book that led me up to going to the streets. And I think now, as I look back, man, you know, I think I could have made better decisions, because I always had people around me, because, you know, I was getting kicked out of so many schools because of the situations that I, you know, that was going on around me. I was getting kicked out left and right at each school, but, you know, I was always around. Every school, I always had like a teacher that would take to me and always try to help me and go the extra mile of even coming to my aid, you know, and helping me on the weekends and helping me, you know, read and taking me out and being like a big brother or father figure. And, you know, I still chose the streets over them. So, you know, that's what led me to the streets. So I'm going to read this next paragraph for y'all, you know, one more paragraph. And then, you know, from there, hopefully it give you a little bit of what you're looking for to read when the book do come out. So I'm going to jump back into it. Real fast. They all had good intentions, family dinners and cookouts to honor me, but I would only turn them away. I would show my face for a few minutes, act like I was all in, only to tell them that I was going to the store to get some soda and bail out on them. I was out of control. I didn't let any of them stand in my way of happiness. Throughout my teen rebellious years, I will only get into more trouble. At the age of 14, I was running the classrooms. I was cussing out the teacher and telling them what I was going to do. I was not up for taking orders from no teacher, principal, or school resource officer. For all I care, all of them can kiss my, well, you know what. Anyway, I wasn't built for those scale walls and suffocating air. There was no room for us to live and grow in the same classroom. Every day was the same old thing. The bell would ring and you would go to another class and chair and chalkboard and teacher lecturing. That was getting old, and I wanted some fun and excitement, so I made school into what I wanted it to be. Yup, that's right. I caused havoc every day. I had to be there. I was cutting class and getting suspended left and right. I ended up getting kicked out of Volks Junior High School and sent to South Philly. Since I was a North Philly kid, I was out of my elements. As soon as I walked into the doors, I started fighting. The suspensions kept coming, and my behavior was worse than it was before I got there. Those South Philly boys didn't know what was coming for them when they tried me. The streets had prepared me for war, and I wasn't taught to quit or to get beat. So by any means necessary, I was going to win each fight. Even through I was rebelling, I still went to church. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but it was like I had to be there. It was like my body was quenching for a thirst, and I had to feel the craving. My appetite was never satisfied, and I Never understood why. I would sit in the back of the church, listen to the sermon, and watch as the youth played the bells. It was smoothing just listening to the music as it played. Every Sunday, Mrs. Bell would come up to me and give me a hug, ask how I was doing, try to encourage me to rejoin the music group to play the bells, but I wasn't into music like that anymore. The streets had my attention, and I couldn't wait to get back to them. It was the rush of not knowing what you were going to face. It was going to face is what kept my attention. My pockets was getting fatter due to selling drugs, and I didn't have to ask or wait for anyone to give me money. I was on my own, and I enjoyed my freedom. Some of the most memorable moments came from the streets. I remember my first time getting drunk off two 12-ounce packs of Miller Lite. Oh boy, that was the night. I'm gonna leave it right there. As y'all see, like my life was growing out of control at an early age, man. And I was 13, 14, and I was doing all them things. I was rebelling in school, you know, all because, like I say, you know, my mother passed away while I was 11, and how she passed away, and then learning who my father was on the day of her funeral. You know, my grandparents always raised me, and seeing my grandmother and my mother argue back and forth over me, like who my mom is. So it was just like a lot of things that I went through at an early age that sent me to the streets, and that had me cutting up in schools and eventually getting kicked out of like 7 schools. You know, just for fighting, and it got to the point where I didn't even have to fight. I can just say something, get suspended, and they kick me right out, being though, you know, I had the record of getting kicked out of schools. And, you know, one thing just led to after another, all the way up into, you know, juvenile, getting sent to a juvenile, Glen Mills. Should have took advantage of that, but I didn't. Just went there, did my time, got out, and make it so bad. They sent me there on like 3 weeks before my birthday. I had got locked up. I was 17. I turned 18. I had to stay there till I was 19. So I felt though like I was a grown man in a juvenile place with kids. And so I rebelled against that and just let me do my time and get up out of here. And that's what I did, which I should have took advantage and got GED and other programs there. And then once I came home, it was just, you know, I'm a grown man now. I don't have to listen to my grandmother, my aunts and uncles, nobody. You know, I'm grown, and it led to destruction. And that's what the book show you, that I never glorify how the drugs, you can buy XYZ, sex, money, cars, and all that. I showed you the part of the drugs where it just showed nothing but destruction in my life, how it downgraded me, how Satan, you know, dragged me through the mud, you know what I'm saying? Because if I glorify, then that make the kids want to do it and just say, I'm going to do it better than him. But if I just show you the destruction of what can happen to you as well as it happened to me, you know, maybe it can give you a different outlook of, man, I don't want to sell no drugs, you know, because, man, I don't want to go through that for the next 9 years. I might go through it for 19 years, you know. I got shot a few times and, you know, got a chance to live through it. Some people get shot one time and, you know, check right out. God forbid, they die. But I was kept here for a reason, so. You know, that's the reason of the book, man. To give the young kids some direction and vision, and get older people some discipline and correction, some understanding, you know, some clarity, that if I can do it, you can do it. But most of all, I'm going to let y'all know, man, God did this. This is the mighty works of God, and the greatest gift he gave me was introducing me to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ accepted him in 2012, surrendered to God in 2005, went to the church in 2010. So this is the works of God. So that's what I wanted to let y'all know, man. The book, the ministry, Men Do Help Men, it all character into one, you know. So I read, you know, couple paragraphs from the book I read from when I was 13 and 14. Just to show y'all little things, how things is leading up to really getting deep into the streets. So it's going to be a powerful book. I'm excited. Thank God for allowing me to share my life with the world, you know, to share my testimony with the world. Because I know some people have even deeper and had their own testimony to share with the world, but I'm excited that God put me in a position where, you know, I can be helpful to men, women, and children. So with that being said, man, I hope everyone who tuned in really understand what I was talking about tonight, talking about embracing and helping the generation and helping our generation to get back to helping this generation come up, because the generation under them is going to be even more destructive if we don't step in, because it's satanic out here. And it's demonic spirits that's floating through the world, and it's getting a hold to our children, and it's brainwashing them and showing them that, you know, they choosing the world over God. And we got to get back to show them that God is way bigger than this world. You know, he created this for us, but don't choose this over him. So that's what we got to get back to helping on, man. So I thank everyone for tuning in. I thank Mrs. Cooper, Princess Cooper, for giving me the opportunity to speak to the people. I want to thank all the other networks, all the other shows that's on the network. Continue to do what y'all doing. Congratulate all the new people, all the new shows that came aboard and all the new shows that's coming aboard. Continue to do what y'all doing, because with change come opportunity, with opportunity comes success. And we all work together to make this network even more stronger than what it is. We're growing. And let's do it together. That's what it's all about. It's all about unity. Gotta thank, you know, another show, the Wake Up Call. You know, it's a powerful show, and I gotta thank them for what they're doing and everything. So praise to them and they show, and let's do this, man. You know, I'll be back to y'all in 2 weeks. I got a special guest coming on, the editor of the book. So she want to come on, which is a strong, powerful woman. She also do a lot of my promotions, do a lot of my posters, and, you know, do a lot of things for me when I'm speaking and advisory, and she do a whole lot for me. So she'll be on the next show, which supposed to have been the 29th, but I think it's going to be the 22nd now that the times change. So we're going to get her on, and she's going to talk about everything she's doing. We want to reach out to her. She's going to talk about this book and the work that took into this book and the works that she did and all the other books that she helped put out there. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the men all over the world, man. And if you can't take care of your child because you're incarcerated and things of that nature, or because you're not here on this earth no more, man, it's okay. You know, it's some strong mothers out here. But men, we got to stand back up. We got to get back up, because even if you're not a deadbeat, and I hate to speak on men like this, but even if you're not a deadbeat, they put us all in the same category. Once you get put into that system, we all is one. They look at us all the same. So, men, let's raise up out of this. Let's break these chains so we don't need that system of child support. You know, we can help the woman get off the system of welfare. You know, we can be the welfare system by helping them take care of the child and helping them achieve and get to a higher level that they need to get to as well. So let's break this system. Let's break these chains. So let's break the system of welfare. We thank welfare because it helped raise a lot of us. I know it helped raise me, but let's help. Let's raise back up as leaders, man. Let's raise back up as kings. Let's raise back up as priests. Let's raise back up as the head of the household. Let's raise back up and help the women. Let's stop letting them do it on their own because, you know, Father's Day is not as big a day as Mother's Day, and it should be because it takes two to make one. She can't make the baby by herself. She may carry it for 9 months, but she didn't create the baby by herself. So both days should be on the same level, but that's because of the fall of the men. So, man, let's stand back up and let's be fathers to these child. Until then, I see y'all in 2 weeks. Thank you for allowing me to explain the book, reading a little bit out the book, explaining some of my life. And the book will be here within the next 30 to 60 days. I promise you that it will be here before the end of the summer. And you will be able to read it. And I hope you get something from it because as I'm reading, I get something from my own life to take out to the world every day. So in the name of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, God, continue to bless us, continue to love us, continue to raise us up and stay in our presence. Amen. Peace, love, joy.